Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome this morning. Lovely to see you all here this morning. We'll begin with a little song we sang for the first time last week. Probably that one. But I think it was familiar to some of us last week, so we'll sing it again just to refresh our memories.
Halloween, we keep hearing about it, which is All Hallows Eve, which is October 31. So today, we've been hearing about Halloween, let's hear about All Hallows, about the faithful of the past, and remember those we know who have shaped our lives and our faith, those separated from us by time and space, who we may not have known personally, but who have shaped the faith of both the church and the world we belong in. This is an opportunity for us to thank God for the tremendous sacrifice made by those who have gone before us, and to pray that we may learn how to walk wisely in their footsteps, to follow their example of faith. Of dedication, of worship, of love. To take our place among them in the communion or the community of saints, because that's one name that we give to the church. It's a claim that if we are part of the church, the communion of saints, we are saying we too are among the saints. You and I are saints. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us worship God who is love, and whose love we see in the lives of those who see him, who follow him and love him, the saints of God. We're going to sing, God is love, let heaven adore him.
Thank you.
have come before us, who have loved you, and who have loved others in your name, those imperfect saints who embody your grace and love, those who received and carried tradition and in turn passed it on to us. May we, O God, also live as your faithful disciples, inspired by their example, receiving their wisdom, learning from their mistakes, seeking as your saints of this day and age to work with you to build your kingdom of love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. God of the ages, God of love, as we have thanked you for those who have gone before, for the example that they gave, even as we do that, O God, we know that they were not perfect, no more perfect than we are. And so we come asking you to forgive us as you forgave them, time after time after time. And I invite you to take time to sit with God and to listen to God's voice as you bring your prayer to confession now. Let's take a moment to do that. We confess, O God, that we have not been the church or the people you call us to be. Forgive us and change us, we pray, and claim us again as your 21st century saints in the name of Christ. Amen. So let's hear again the great good news. In Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And we want to glorify and praise God for that as we stand to sing, "To God be the glory."
COVID year, because we did it online, so 3 in person, 1 not in person.
Okay, so you are well versed in synods then, you know what goes on, you know all about it. So synods, how do you feel about this synod?
I think it was very good. It was very different. We have a new moderator, his name is Reverend Bruce Moore, and Was he with Uniting Care?
He was with Uniting Care.
So he's very pastoral. He's got a real heart for prayer and liked to make sure everybody felt safe and was on the same page. So there was a lot of pausing and a lot of stopping and thinking and praying, which doesn't often happen at Synod.
But we've never done this much praying at Synod before. I don't think we've been praying too much. And I thought, oh no, it must feel like that.
It was really good. So I felt it was much more of a group discernment on a lot of things instead of four angry people getting up and yelling. It was very much, let's all have a go, let's all feel, how do we all feel about this? Because there is always one or two that always stand up and have a chat. but it was really good, and it felt right. It was nice. So, and there's a lot of good songs and a lot of good...
The worship was great.
Yeah, the worship was good. So.
One of my favourite experiences of Synod is when we're all worshipping together, and you have 300 voices all worshipping and praising God together. And it's an experience that I won't forget. It's always a highlight of Synod for me. And you should go sometime.
Yeah.
See, should they not?
They should, yes. Yeah. The food is also a highlight. So always, they feed you very well.
Too well,
unfortunately. But
yeah.
It was good.
But they do have very good coffee, and that's a nice thing. But did you want to say anything about the Norman and Mary Miller lecture, which is a highlight of Synod every year?
Yeah. This year, it was by somebody I didn't know, but everybody else did, Stan Grant, Dr. Stan Grant spoke, and just the whole room was silent, like you could have heard a pin drop. He was a very charismatic speaker, but also just what he was saying, nobody sort of went home not wanting to cry a little. It was really good, very deep, very insightful. I would like to actually have it and see it. My mum needs to watch it too, so I think you can get it on the website.
I checked to see if it was there, it's not yet, but I'm thinking it will be.
But it would be really good if anybody wants to watch it, we should play it in the church.
They said the Norman and Mary Miller by Dr. Stanley Grant. Now I thought, I've never heard of Dr. Stanley Grant. I know Stan Grant. Stan Grant, that's who it is. And he spoke out of a very deep faith, which is an aspect of Stan Grant that I had not necessarily, I see the outcomes of that in some of the things he says and does, but I'd never heard him speak like that before, and I really appreciated that. I really appreciated, and he was talking about, you know, this is a time of reckoning that, like, let's not just look at the media headlines and the terrible experiences, but let's really reflect on what is this time and what is this time for the church. And as I said, I really appreciated what he said. So if you get a chance to do that, and I'm sure it will come up on the website at some point, do take the opportunity to listen to it.
One of the other big highlights, I was looking, we've got the program here which helps jog the memory.
that's what I used.
Yeah. It was the Uniting Aboriginal and Islander Christian Congress came up, so it was a Queensland branch, and they had about 15 people on stage maybe, and some of the newer leaders that are coming through as well, which was good. And they gave an update on what they're doing. But they also had a fellow, Uncle Rodney, Uncle Rodney? Yeah. And he was just singing the whole time. He had his guitar out and he was rocking all the old. it was really good. But there was a lot of joy and happiness, even though they've been through some very difficult things at the moment. So, yeah, that was also really nice just to hear what the Congress were doing. So, yeah.
So, we've seen them for a long time. It's worked in small groups. They divided people into small groups to discuss things, like in a little group rather than in a whole group of 300 people, but this time I call them yarning service. Do you want to say anything about that? You don't have to if you don't want to.
The yarning, it's deep listening. So when you have a yarn, you just sit down and have a conversation. You sort of talk into the space rather than at people. So it was a very open and honest kind of sharing time about different things. I think it was good for some of the ministers to have a vent about certain things as well, because one of the things that we were discussing was burnout and, you know, stress and time off and different days and what's expected and all that kind of thing. So I think it was good for some of them to be able to just speak and be heard and not have to worry about feedback or like arguing or anything. It was just a space to be heard. So that was good.
So do you think this synod made a difference?
Yeah. I think it will start a lot of things. I think it was a good start of an era for Bruce as well. His next one will be... But does he do two or three this term?
He gets to do...
Only two. So, but I think it's really set up what he's going to be about. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes to make things flow better, maybe. Renewal was the theme. And that does include necessary deaths and things like that as well, letting go. What are the sort of structures that are restricting how we do things, like the very strict, you know, 2 days, this, you've got to do, you know, different things. That's not a very good description. But yes, it was...
Across the board, everything was
about... Yeah, it was all about neural, about how do we manage our finances better so we can do things properly, how can we care for each other better by managing things better, how can we, you know, share and join in better, how can we work together better. And I think a lot of people probably came away with a sense that we are heading into new things and that we will be able to do some new things together. And we had a couple of young ones that we'd never met before, who, for me, it was the first time I got to kind of take somebody under my wings. I was the old one, which was fun. It was nice. But yeah, so I think they had a really positive experience too, which is good because they're the ones who are going to be doing it when I'm old, and they'll be, you know, bringing the new ones through as well. So I think it was a good start to a new era, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you very much. So I hope you all got a little taste, you know. I thought it was a gold standard. I was thinking, this is a synod against which I compare others. So I thought it was we'll see what happens into the future in our church.
The reading is from Matthew, chapter 22, and the heading in the Bible above that is the Great Commandment. So the reading is verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. May God bless that reading from his word.
And it all comes back to you.
You give a little love and it all comes back to you.
Well, if you didn't realise that was a Coke ad. And if you are into video games at all, you'll know that it's a send-up of a video game. Anyone able to tell me what it is? Okay, you are clearly people who do not waste your time on video games, on Grand Theft. That was Grand Theft Auto. Now, anyone who... Did you know, Gemma? Why did you not put your hand up? Because I was counting on you. So anyone who's played it, you will know that it is not about love. You would agree with me, Gemma, would you not?
Very much so.
It's about organised crime. It's about assassination. It's about car chases. But it's not about love. But that little song, that's catchy, isn't it? Give a little love and it comes right back to you. However, it is definitely not what Jesus was talking about when he said, love your neighbour as yourself. It's like one of those things that, you know, they show to the corporate videos where they say what not to do. That's like a what not to do of the Bible reading we had this morning. Because you cannot give a little love to God and give a little love to other people and feel yourself that you are living as Jesus' disciples, as a Christian, as God's church. We are walking with Jesus towards Jerusalem, towards crucifixion, towards death. The pace is quickening. There's escalating controversy. Jesus' critics are snapping at his heels, attacking him more openly, attacking him in packs. The Pharisees, and the Sadducees, who normally would not get on at all, join forces. And here they set yet another trap for Jesus. They agree that a lawyer, one of the Pharisees who was steeped in the law, will ask a question to set a trap. The question is, Jesus, what commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus' answer was the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And then, here's the verse that Jesus quotes, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Every good Jew knew that verse by heart. It's always before their eyes because devout Jews, I'm sure, you've heard about phylacteries, haven't you? Little scrolls in little leather cases that they wore on their forehead and on their arm with a leather string that goes round down their arm and attaches to their finger, which devout Jews wore to morning prayer. So that verse is always before their eyes. It's there to remind them that that's how you live as God's person. And when they raise their hands, either way, that cord bound to the phylactery is always before their eyes as they pray. So there was nothing surprising. There was nothing new in the commandment to love God above everything. But now Jesus adds a bonus to the Shema. And it's Leviticus 19:18. A command like the first. A commandment to love your neighbour as yourself. A commandment like the first and greatest to love God. And you know what? When Jesus says like, he doesn't mean like it's similar to or it's kind of goes with it in some way. They kind of they flow on a bit, you know, in terms of things. It sounds as if it might mean that. But here, when Jesus says like, he's saying it's inseparable from. The commandment to love neighbour cannot be separated from the commandment to love God. It is not love God and then love your neighbour. It is, to love God is to love your neighbour. If you love God, it's just automatic. To love God is to love your neighbour. And to love your neighbour is to love God. And then Jesus says, on that hangs the whole law and prophets. I would have thought they'd have been excited about that. Because now, according to Jesus, devout Jews no longer needed to worry about trying to memorise and follow individually the 613 laws of the Torah. There's 248 positive commands, which is the number of parts of the human body, and 365 negative commands, which is the number of days in the year. Two simple commandments, according to Jesus, cover the lot. All you have to do is to love God with everything you have, with your whole being. And to love your neighbour, which Matthew has already said includes your enemies, and it also includes the person who irritates you, or bores you, or angers you, or disgusts you, as if your life depended on it. And the rest, the whole of the law and the prophets, will follow. If you've done that, then you have done all that God asks of you. Everything. It's the whole shebang. I want to be really clear about this, because Jesus is crystal clear that this is what it means to be God's woman, God's man, God's boy, God's girl, God's person. We talked about saints before. This is the model for the saints of God, for us as the communion of saints, as the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbour, even your enemy, as yourself. Because that is what really, really matters to God. So to go back to the start, Jesus is definitely not saying give a little love and it comes right back to you. Jesus is talking about what God means when God says love. Not careless generosity, but love the way God defines it. Unmotivated, unmanipulated, unconditional, unlimited, costly love. Like the love that Jesus is about to show the world when he gives himself up for our sake. Just another chapter or two further down Matthew's Gospel. Everything else. All our religious devotion, all our hymn singing, all our praying, all our creeds, all our listening to sermons, are the icing on the cake. They are all extra. Now, I'm not saying don't have those, because you do eat the icing with the cake, don't you? The icing enhances the cake. But you don't eat the icing without the cake. Children do that, but we are adults and we eat, they go together for us. So don't hear me saying those things are wrong, because I'm not. I'm saying we need them. They're the icing on the cake and we need them to make the cake all that it could be. Jesus comes to the lawyers who asked the question and to the Pharisees who gathered around was this. Make loving God and loving others your reason for living. Make loving God and loving others your reason for living. And it was way too big a challenge for them. And now Jesus is issuing the same challenge to us gathered here this morning as we listened to what he said way back then. Jesus asks us, is loving God and loving others your whole reason for living? Or is it too big a challenge for you? And you know what? I don't like what Jesus did. Do you? Because that's hard. That's a really hard challenge. And I wish Jesus hadn't said that. But Jesus did. So let me check it out with you, because there's lots of things that you do. And the question is, why do you do it? Is that why you do it? Why do you do volunteer work? Why do you smile at strangers in shops and give people the spare fruit and vegetables you grow in your garden if you've got a veggie garden? Why are you on the church council? Or do the church maintenance or other jobs around the church? Or give to the women's shelter? Why do you pray for the people of the world whose lives are devastated by natural disasters and war? Why do you pray for Ukraine and her people? Why do you pray for the people of Gaza and the terrible, terrible situation that's there right now? Why do you support your friends and your neighbours through tough times? Because I know those are all things that you do. Do you do any or all of those things? If your answer is that you do it because you love God and you love your neighbour, then you have done all that God asks of you. You have done enough. That's what the saints of God do. That's who the church is, the communion or the community of saints. And we do it, don't we, some of the time, but we don't. Can I speak for us, or should I only speak for me? Because I reckon we don't all do it all the time. But what would be possible if we did, if you and I did love like that all the time? Because I don't think there's anything that would not be possible. There is nothing that would not be possible if we could love like that, God and others, all the time. And we do have opportunities to do that. We do have opportunities to look around and see what is it that God is engaged in doing in this community. How can we join God? How can we be part of what God is doing? You know, Mother Teresa said something that I think is really profound. She said, who would see Mother Teresa as someone who did huge, big things? One of the saints of God. Oh, let me know. Who thinks that? Because I think she's one of the saints of God. One that's a model for us. You know, we can look at her and say, wow, how she loves God, how she loves others. But this is what she said. I don't do big things. I just do little things with big love. And that's a really good model for us, isn't it? To do little things with big love. And Jesus says it's our job, my job and yours. When you do that, you join the communion of saints, one of God's 2023 saints. That's who we are in our best moments. The writer of Matthew tells us that this is the fourth time that Jesus' enemies have asked him controversial questions to him. And every time, Jesus has got the better of them with his answers. They don't do it again. And I'm wondering if it's because now Jesus turns the table on them. Because if you read the next verse in Matthew 22, it says this. While the Pharisees were gathered together, so they'd asked the lawyer had asked the question, Jesus had given their reply, and while they were still there, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think of the Messiah? And that's an important question. Because you know what? Jesus is just on his way in this point of his story. He's on his way up to Jerusalem to face rejection and death. He's called his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, to model themselves on him. Jesus is about to give the word Messiah, the whole concept of Messiah, new meaning. Jesus is redefining Messiah and Messiah's rule as a rule of love, not the expected rule of military force, which Jewish people and leaders had held for a long, long time. And it's only in the light of who Jesus is that we can answer Jesus' question about who the Messiah is. Jesus is God. God with us. God in the flesh. Loving us sacrificially. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. How do you do that? By putting your neighbour, by putting others first by loving them sacrificially as Jesus did, or as Jesus is about to do at this point in the story. Because Jesus is the Messiah who is going up to Jerusalem to show the Pharisees, the people in the crowd that day, his disciples, and us what God means by love. Unmotivated, unmanipulated, unconditional, unlimited, sacrificial love. Through 2,000 years and more, Jesus has never stopped asking, in your life, what do you think of the Messiah? Do you understand what God means when God says love? And now that you do, will you love me with everything you've got? Will you love me by loving your neighbour and even your enemy as if your life depended on it? Will you commit yourself to love? Or, and this is a hard, hard question that Jesus is asking us this morning, are you too going to keep misunderstanding what God really, really wants from you and turn away from me like the Pharisees did that morning, that day? Or, and I hope this is your yes, are you going to put God first in your life? Because that's Jesus' challenge to us this morning. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I've heard my people cry. Let's sing that as...
Thank you.
Generous God, these, our offerings, are our love gift to you. Not just our offerings of our money, but our offerings of us ourselves, of all we are and all we do, to spread your love in our world in the name of Christ. Amen.
Welcome everybody. The usual activities are on this week for the groups. Please look at the prayer points on your order of service, and becoming a member of Kenmore Uniting Church. Thank you to everyone who has already told us you'd like to become a member of Kenmore Uniting Church. The date for our membership service will be Sunday the 3rd of December, not the 5th of November as we planned previously. So please stay after the service today for a few minutes to talk to Jan if you've already expressed interest in becoming a member or if you want to know more about it. And don't forget the collection for Women's Refuge of non-perishable goods. Thank you.
Before we have the prayer, I'll just let you know that I've had a word from Donna, and she's expecting to be called to do some sessions in disaster chaplaincy, so she may be involved not in the bushfire area at this stage, thank heaven, but she may be in a place. Let us join in our prayers for ourselves and others. God of grace, we come to you this morning a little weary and disheartened, with no prospect of an end to the continued fighting in the Ukraine. We hear about horrific bombing in Gaza and chilling stories from some returning Israeli prisoners of Hamas, revealing the brutality on both sides of that conflict. And we hear of earthquakes in Afghanistan and more cyclones in poor little Vanuatu. And at home we know that the fires are facing a staggering number of outbreaks, especially in southwest Queensland. We know and feel too hearts full of pain as you do. We see so much need for your gifts of grace and strength. Be with all those who are risking themselves in order to keep others safe and give them the aid that they need. Help us to see wherever possible, as we remember the saints of the past, the stories of courage and kindness that are still happening. Give us particularly gentleness with those we meet each day who are facing their own difficult trials. In the midst of ordinary days, some people are confronted with circumstances that demand extraordinary courage and fortitude. Many need courage and strength just to make ends meet each day, or struggle through times of uncertainty and trouble. Bless all those today who face sadness or illness or economic challenges. May they feel your comfort, and may the help of friends or strangers lighten their load. Let us name in our hearts those in our own community known to us personally in need of comfort and help. Help us to keep our eyes open to opportunities to be instruments of your comfort and support and practical help. Lord, in a world that sometimes seems so dark, thank you for the light of your love that shines through. We are grateful for the wideness of blue skies and also the blessing of the rain we've just had. Thank you for the joys of small children in our lives, a smile from a toddler in a pram on an afternoon walk, greetings from friends and strangers, the soft lavender haze of jacarandas on the streets, the exquisite beauty of a favourite piece of music. We thank you for all your blessings, and particularly for your peace, which we never fully understand, but which you give us like a strong, powerful underground stream that wells up and sustains us. Forgive us for the times we let fractiousness and irritations and anxiety intrude and disconnect us from that peace, and stop us from being effective messengers of your grace. Help us to use anger at cruelty and actively, and support those who are making a difference. But do not let anger eat away inside us and blind us to the goodness in your world. We confess we are finding this time of waiting irksome. We feel that this is liminal time, time between now and not yet, between here and a path forward. We would like to be like the hymn writer, who says we do not ask to see the distant scene. Sometimes that is difficult. Please show us the next steps in our pilgrim journey. Help us to put aside frustration, rest in your peace, and do what needs to be done to be ready for the future you have for us. We ask your blessing on the person you are preparing to work with us in sharing your love in our community and beyond. Help us as a congregation and a council to express clearly how we believe you want us to serve in this place and time. Remind us that today we have enough money, enough time, and enough resources to do your will and be your servants in spreading your love. Give us the grace to allow you to work through us. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So let's stand and ask God to teach us to dance to the beat of his heart. That's, I think I said to you before, that's a metaphor. I'm not asking you to dance in the pews. You could if you really wanted to, but I'm not expecting that. I'll be surprised. But it's about using all that we are to connect with the beat of God's heart of love. Let's sing it.
Thank you.
we, you and I, are the church, members of the community or the communion of saints. So, saints of God, as you go into the week ahead, God is waiting for you there in your world. Go to join God there and to love others in God's name. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you.